Hey, hey, oh, hey. Hey, hey, oh, hey. Hey. Ho ho. My name is Angangak, and it means the man who looks like his uncle. And I actually do look like my uncle. I was named after my father's older brother. His name is Koyegi, which means the beloved one. But he was named after his uncle Angangak, who was named after his uncle Koyegi, who was named after his uncle, Angangak. So I go long ways back. Now I'm sitting here on my land, and I call it my land because now I'm the oldest one in the family. This is actually the home of our beloved grandmother, Anakasa, our father's mother. She grew up here in the late 1800s, because this is their land where they go hunting, and they live there for all summer. And it's so interesting. We have now learned that they've been living here for about 6,000 years. I can't really count 6,000 years. But it sounds a lot. But that's how long my family lived here. Right behind me over this little hill is a longhouse, ceremonial center in the winter. Down at the beach of the big lake, there's about 100 Dubek places. Dubek is a teepee made of sealskin or caribou skin. That's where they lived. And this is the land of the hunting. It's an incredible valley, which is about 25 to 30 kilometers long. On the widest point, it's about 5 kilometers. And in the old days, this is where the caribou was born. Now, because there are so many of us now, they have moved further away, where they give birth to the animals we live on. Here, just below me, I can see it now. There's an altar on a plateau. This is where the elders get together. And just below it, it's a sacred fireplace. I don't know if you knew that, but in the old days, there was no fire from the earth around here. The only fire my people had was of the seal oil. That's what they can see with and each other. That's how they get the warmth in the houses and dubeks. That's also the way they cook the food. And that's it. And there's nothing else from here, just about 400 kilometers to the west, where my grandmother comes from the village of Ichitsuk. And our beloved grandmother was a matriarch. I managed to see my father's father because I was born way up north in Kutlissat. And then my father got a telegram from his mother which says, if you want to see your father alive, you should come now. So my father, after my birth on November 2nd, packed up his belongings with his wife, my mother, and my older brother, Angayo, and put on his dog sled and traveled for several months into the mainland from Qaqortoq into the mainland of West Greenland and across from Ilulissat to the mainland again. Ilulissat is where all the icebergs, world famous icebergs, are born. And we came to Aasiaat, which is a town in the old days, already a town of many people, where the ship will come. And we traveled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers on a ship and came to Manitsoq, where my grandfather was ill. I used to sit on his lap. I remember he could no longer walk, but he could lift his legs and play with me because I was the newest grandson he had. I can feel my stomach as he lifted his legs and we would laugh together. I can smell him still. I can still hear his laughter. I can see his beauty of smile despite his illness. But then he left this earth. So my grandmother, like all the other grandmothers, became the matriarch of the society in which we lived, on the village of Qaqortoq. And in the old days when I was born, it was still a tradition that grandmothers would raise the grandchildren. Why? Because mother and father had to hunt and fish. There was no grocery store to go to. There was no electricity to have. There's no running water to have. Everything is natural. But mother and father had to hunt and fish. Thus, all these grandmothers would take care of these grandchildren. And my grandmother, our beloved grandmother, had many grandchildren. Sometimes I know how to count them. Other times I forget how many we were. Because we were not just the grandchildren, they were also our cousins, then our friends she raised. And her way of raising us was telling us stories. It's so interesting. Anagasa would tell the same story over and over and over. And then those older ones than us, they would say, oh God. They didn't say, oh God, it's an English translation of it. We listened to them before. And my grandmother would have beautiful, beautiful smile. And she would tell exactly the same story again, over and over and over. Then she would say, listen, listen, then listen more. Only then can you tell a living story. Can you imagine if you read a book that you had to read it until you have completely memorized it? Otherwise, you cannot tell the story of the book. We didn't have any books. Those stories were ancient traditions stemming from my grandmother, who was raised by her grandmother, who was raised by her grandmother, who was raised by her grandmother. Those four grandmothers raised their grandchildren and told the same stories. I am sitting on the source of the grandmothers. At least around 6,000 years, my family has lived here. This is north of the Arctic Circle, in a country called Kalaallit-Nunaat, which means the land of the people. In English, they call it Greenland. They forget to call it the land of the people. Kalaallit means people. And we are the people, just like you are. So when you come here, this is your land. And you're welcomed. You will be welcomed with open arms. And they will welcome you so you can feel at home inside yourself. How often you and I, we forget to feel at home, even within ourselves. How did we get there? What happened to you and I that we forget to feel at home within ourselves? It's a really perplexing question I so often have asked as I traveled the world. Yes, I have traveled this land, enormous land, inside out. I don't know every valley. I do not know every mountain. I do not know every lake. But I know most of it. I walked. And I walked, and I walked. I walked with young people. I walked with children. I walked with old people. I walked with elders on this land. And when I return, the elders will come to give me a hug and tell me, welcome home. After a long walk, the elders would be standing there to welcome me, welcoming me to our land. Can you imagine you yourself being welcomed by an elder to your home? What a privilege to grow up like that. It was for me. It was for my family. Every time they've been walking, they are welcomed by the elders. And they always say, welcome home. So now I do that to you. I welcome you home to yourself. Why? The old people say that, how can I come home to myself? And we realize now that the hardest thing in yours and my life is to come home to ourselves. It's so interesting. My land is really, really big and in enormous distances. And our beloved father, Ada Adake is his name, she would do this, he would do this. My hand is like his hand. And then he would do this. And then he would say, for him and me, the highest bone is the joint of the long finger. Said, go there. And he will ask him, what are you saying? What are you telling me? What are you telling us? Go there. The highest point in your life. Then he would tell us that the highest point in your personal life is when you accepted yourself most. When you honored yourself most. When you recognized yourself most. But most importantly, when you loved yourself most. That's the highest point in your life. I invite you to come home to yourself, in which you recognize yourself, accept yourself, respect yourself, honor yourself, but most importantly, when you love yourself most. When you get there, you will realize when you look that there are many choices in life. Many. And then it's so interesting to realize how many choices you and I, we have, how to live our life, what to represent in our life, what to do in our life, but most importantly, how to accept all that gift within yourself. So, our beloved Father would say, when you choose which path to walk, you had to really walk all the way to the very end. When you get there, you get home to yourself. Can you imagine? You and I learning to get home to ourselves. I can hear my grandmother saying, you are the most important person in your life. Imagine that you personally, you are the most important person in your life. So we ask our Father, how long would it take me to walk all the way down to the end? And his favorite answer was, it can take as long as a breath takes. Then he would inhale and hold it for a bit, and then exhale it. And now we know that it takes approximately 12 seconds to do that. That's how fast you can come home to yourself. But then he would smile and say, oh, it can take a lifetime to get home to yourself. And that's really a perplexing matter of question. What is a lifetime? Our physical life is very limited. Our spiritual life is unlimited. Why? The old people say that my spirit, the home of my spirit is my heart. And then that will never leave the earth. When my body dies, my spirit is here. And the old people and anyone who comes here will be able to feel my spirit. They can hear when I tell them how much I love them. They can feel that I respected them. They can feel that I acknowledged them. They can feel that I honored them. But most of all, they can feel they are loved by me. Can you imagine that you yourself can do the same as we do? This is where it becomes so incredible when I think back. We were raised by our grandmother. Anakasa is her name. An incredibly beautiful spirit, a powerful woman. With a heart, which you would say in English, heart of gold. No, her heart was much better than gold. Her heart was the finest gem of earth. How did she do that? She accepted everybody, no matter who they are. She was a doctor. She was a medicine woman. So she welcomed everybody who comes to her. No matter who they are, no matter how they feel, what they think, what they feel, She welcomed them. She gave them a hug and gave them kunix, sniffing. I still do that. Or we still do that. We do that to smell your emotion. Can you imagine to be welcomed and someone sniffing at you to read your emotions? It's so interesting that, because now scientists have proven that you and me, every different emotion you and I we have, our smell changes. So Annika said, we smell to see if you're okay. Now I do the same. I would sniff at you because I want to read your energy. So no matter where I've gone, and I have traveled a lot, I hug people and I smell them. And I've done that all over the world. And it's so interesting, the reactions of some people. It's like, what are you smelling? I'm smelling you because I want to know if you love yourself. I would say that. Loving myself. Remember, you can never love somebody or anybody if you don't love yourself first. If you are just like everyone else around the world, you will fall in love with somebody. Did you know that when you fall, if you get hurt at the end? Did you know that? The old people say, become in love. They say love should never, ever hurt. It should be beautiful. And the greatest longing every one of us on this earth have is to be accepted with love. I remember giving my grandmother a hug the last time I hugged her. I was at this college in Denmark in the month of January the 25th. In 1969, she passed on to the next world. But I remember my last hug with her. She was not well already. And she was in a little hospital. But she had a beautiful smile. And I hugged her, half laying on her bed. And she gave me kunik here. I don't know how many times she did that. She did that. And she said, as I have a kid, which means I love you. Now go. And it's so interesting. In our tradition, when we leave and say goodbye, we never look back. So I never looked back at my grandmother. But that smell she took from me is still here. Now it's 2022. I can still feel her kunik smelling me. That's the last time. That was in 1967. She gave me her last kunik. But it's still with me. Yes, she no longer lives here. She's somewhere here. Because my people believe that when you leave your body, your spirit will remain here. No one will forget the sound of your voice when you tell them how much you love them. They will never forget the sound of your voice when you tell them how much you love your family, your friends, and whoever comes to your life. But the soul of you will move on. But they will never leave you at the reach of your hand. But Anagasa says, don't play with that soul. Allow that soul to travel on with the northern lights until they reach the Great One. I often think about, who is that Great One? And when you ask Anagasa, she will say, the man who made us. It's so interesting. By the time I went to Europe to go to college, it was a very important thing between man and woman fighting to become equal. It's so strange that they were fighting about who is more important than the other. They had forgotten that we are all equal, woman and man. So they would say the creator is she. No, creator is not she or him. Creator is very different. The way you and I, we are the people. People who live on this earth. There's the female, always on the left side. Why? Anagasa says, because that's the closest to the heart. And far away from the heart is the male. And this morning, the great sea eagle, Nat Dorley, came on a visit. Her home is just right up here. She will give birth to the next generation right up here behind us, a kilometer away from us. So the female is always the left, the male always the right. It's so interesting to listen to the old people saying, if the bird needs to lift, she can never lift if the wings are not equally strong. Can you imagine you and I becoming to accept the reality as a family, a mother and a father, lifting the family up? If the wings are not equally strong, family can never lift. I believe that I told you that I travel a lot. I have seen, unfortunately, too much. Way too much. Where the inequality is so strong, where a family can never be lifted. The old people say, once the eagle lifts, she just jumps. And then one moment, male aspect will be much stronger and it will turn this way. The other moment, the female becomes much, much stronger and it soars to new height. You and I, we never dreamt we could reach. If you could imagine, as a family, that we can reach heights within ourselves we could never imagine. Imagine yourself as a family, where you reach heights you could never imagine. And inside yourself, you are so high. Higher than the big sky above us. That's how far you can reach as a family. But when the family has to land, if the wings are not equally strong between the female and the male, it will crash. The bird will crash. I am a hunter. I have hunted many birds, the geese and Nachtlid and all these mitzvahs, all these birds which fly around us here. You hunt them, that's part of your food chain. I have seen them landing on ice. And when, because of the wind, we cannot see the wind right now, the birds is not keeping the balance and they crash. And how often I have collected dead birds where they broke the necks. And just say, oh, which means thank you. That's what happens to a female and a male in the human world. They crash. And I often in my travels ask, how many do you know in your world who have gone separate ways because they could not stay in balance with each other as equals? In the modern language, it's called divorce. It's so interesting to realize how many of us on this earth has gone through that same process because we don't know how to be equally strong. One day, I would love to be in a situation where people come as females and males, equally strong when they lift and when they land. And it is so interesting. The big airplane is exactly the same way, the modern airplane. If the wings are not equally strong, I don't care how many engines you put it on, that airplane cannot lift if the wings are not equally strong. It has to be in that balance. The same thing when it land. If the wings are not equally strong, it will crash. So you and I, we're not so different than the airplanes of today as humans on this earth. And that's called family. Can you imagine? As your children grow, they learn about that teaching that everyone is equally strong. If not, the society would be out of balance. The whole society would be out of balance. How can love exist if we're not equally strong? So my prayer is that one day people will walk in over the mountains, come to this valley here, feeling and enjoying of being equally strong. Because family is the most important thing as humans. Without family, without equality, we will fight with each other. And do you know how many are fighting each other today? Here, I cannot hear the news. And I'm actually really happy that I cannot hear the news. But when I go to town, I hear the news. Did you know another big war has been born. And it's getting really bad. And I think often, because when the people from outside came in here, they call us uncivilized. Imagine if I came to your land and I look at you and I declare to where I travel that you are uncivilized. No, I would never do that. I couldn't imagine doing that. Because you are just like me. You and I, we are equals. My grandmother, our beloved grandmother, Anna Kassam, would tell us that in the east, you can see the big eyes behind me. When the sun comes up, she has an amazing color around her. But as she leaves the contour of the earth, she becomes yellow. Now we have learned there are actually yellow people on this earth. And they are so incredibly beautiful. Me and my wife, beloved Seneca, we traveled to the Far East. We met them in Japan, in Taiwan, in Hong Kong, in Macau, and in China. We met them. They are so incredibly beautiful. But then, as the sun rises at noon, when you look at her now, she's white. Now we have learned there are actually white people on this earth. And they are so incredibly beautiful beings, the humans. And when you look at the sun at high noon, she's always white. Then in the west, where the sun sets, she's always red. And that's the indigenous peoples of this earth. We call them indigenous because they came before us all. And I'm one of them. And in the summertime, when we sit there on the plateau of our village, grandmother would say, "Oh, you are as red as the setting of the sun." And we will look at each other and they all look so red because the sun is shining upon us 24 hours a day. And we become tanned. And I hope I did good on my makeup this morning. Because I am a red man. Then at night, it's always black. Now we've realized there are actually black people on this earth. And it is us, all of us. The yellow people, the white people, the red people, and the black people. We all belong in the same circle. One of the most important teachings of this land here, and I remind myself that my family had lived here for about 6,000 years. The circle, which has no beginning, no ending, in which we all belong. The beauty of the circle is that we cannot see each other's backs. And the strength of the circle is that we can only see each other's beauty. Can you imagine for all of us to live like that? I grew up in a time with a pandemic called tuberculosis. Many thousands of people died. many thousands in all of continent of North America in which we are part. Many red people died of tuberculosis, like here. My grandmother says, the greatest illness of mankind is not tuberculosis. She says, no, the greatest illness of mankind is that you speak behind somebody's back, put them down, to make yourself more important than everyone else. That's the greatest illness. Backbiting, putting people down behind their back, is the greatest illness of mankind. When I ask myself often, when will we become equal to each other? When will we stop putting someone down behind their back? When will we stop saying, oh, don't believe, it doesn't matter, that's not important? No. These old people here, they say, everyone, without any exception, are important. You are important. When you are yellow, white, red, and black, you are important. Those who say you are not have lost the capacity to understand the beauty of mankind. But unfortunately, really, really unfortunately, the decline of the societies of the world are not liking the yellow people, the white people, the red people, and the black people. The decline of the society, I have seen that all over the world. So, what does it all mean? One day, I want to witness that myself. One day I want to wake up from my dupeq, my tent. I want to get out from my sleep and say, ho ho, welcome home, every one of you. This is our land. You know what we call her? Mother Earth. My grandmother, our grandmother, Anna Kassar, she walked up here from the big beach of the big lake. She walked up here and walked 30-some kilometers to a big mountain. About 10 years old, she says. That's at the very turn of the century, 1800, 1900. She walked up there, and she tells us that as we were growing up, she got up there with her elders and all the people from the village, and they looked there, up here in land of the people, Kalaallit, what you call Greenland. The air is different than European air, than North American air, and all the other continents where so many people live and so much happening. Here it is clear. When you look, you can see to the curvature of the earth with your own eyes. That curvature is about 450 kilometers away. You can see that with your own eyes. And when you turn to the north, you can see another 450 kilometers with your own eyes. That means you are looking at a distance of 900 kilometers. Imagine to look at that and realize, as a little girl of 10 years old, raising her grandchildren up and say, I saw the world. But there was only one world. There was only one sun. And there was only one moon. And tonight, we will celebrate the full moon. So, that little girl who became our grandmother, that's her story. I don't any longer know how often I have told the same story. But for me, it has been so incredibly important because I travel a lot. I've seen people who have become so distant from each other that they don't even say good morning. They don't even say, oh, where are you from? What's your name? How's your family? We don't do that anymore. And this is the story I wanted to tell you at the end. Because of this big ice melting, my beautiful parents, Ana Anaki, my mother, Ada Adaki, my father, said, I should become, or no, you should become a runner. I know the story of Bartok, the runners. I know them. I grew up with those stories. It's the one who carries the message to the next village that you have become a parent for a new baby so the family can know that runner will run in his kayak or over the mountains just to tell you that you have become an auntie or an uncle. Or someone has passed on to let you know that your great uncle passed on. He joined the Northern Lights. That those kind of messages and those kind of messengers carried the news all over the world. We were not the only ones who had run us. And they wanted me to become one for a very specific role to play. They wanted me to tell the world that the big ice is melting. I think I told you at the time when my grandmother was growing, this big ice behind me was about 5 kilometers thick. That's 5,000 meters thick. The way you and I will live on this earth melted her. She just few meters tall now. That has an impact on the entire Mother Earth. The entirety of the Mother Earth is being impacted by this big ice. Yes, it is true, climate has always changed. But this time, you and I, we have never been so many. We are now just about 8 billion of us. And everyone needs to eat, everyone needs to drink, and everyone needs to live. So we used all the resources we have. Now, we are short on even water. This big ice is melting. I will show you a bit later. There's a small river coming from the big ice, of the melted ice. But in a month's time, this is now month of May, in a month's time, this river will be running more than 1 million liters per second from the melting ice. The only thing is that there are more than 10,000 rivers like that. So after many years of traveling the world, I decided to go home. My grandmother has passed on. My father has passed on. It was only my mother. I came home to a little house. She made me a cup of coffee and she made herself a cup of tea. And we were sitting there. And my mother knew that I have a message to give her. I said, I don't want to be a runner anymore. And she looked at me. Tell me more. I said, I cannot change the world. It's too big, too many people. They don't listen. They don't believe in climate change. They don't believe what you have told us will happen in the world. And it's so interesting. She was sitting on my father's chair, and I was sitting on her chair. And then she got up. Of course, as traditional people, when a mother or grandmother stands up, you stand up too. So I did. And she took my hands like that. And she's a beautiful woman, this tall. So I'm looking at her, and she had the most serene face of beauty you could imagine. And then this woman of my mother, she closed her eyes. So I closed my eyes. And this is what she told me. My son, you're just going to have to change the ways. You're going to have to learn to melt the ice in the heart of man. Only by melting the ice in the heart of man, man will have a chance to change and begin using his knowledge wisely. When she stopped, I shook her hands. I opened my eyes and I shook her hands, and she opened her eyes, and I asked her, how? And it's so interesting. Our beautiful mother, she closed her eyes again. So I closed my eyes again. And she answered my question, how? She said, you're just going to have to change the ways. You're going to have to learn to melt the ice in the heart of man. Only by melting that ice in the heart of man, man will have a chance to change and begin using his knowledge wisely. It's so interesting. Then she shook my hands. I opened my eyes and I looked at her, and she has the most serene, beautiful smile. She took her hands away from me and she went to her kitchen. So I realized that you and I, we have an incredible knowledge. And I have seen that incredible knowledge all over the world. But we're going to have to change. We're going to have to learn to use that incredible capacity we have, a gift we have, and use it wisely. If we don't, the world, the way you and I will know it, will never be the same. One of them is that we don't like each other as the yellow people, as the white people, as the red people, and as the black people. You can actually learn to accept each other because we are the gift from this great one. We are all equals. If not, another big war will be born, and destruction of a big river will come. We don't need the big river, but we're going to have to learn to stand together as equals. After all, we are the citizens of the same world. There's only one Earth, and we need to take care of her better by accepting each other. Oh-ho!